second one.
We all had a good time. We spent a few weeks on the Mida of the Kaddish Baruch and they displayed during Hanukkah. And in the period of Haneiros Halalu, we pray, we say, Kedei L'Hoydeis L'Halal, Kedei L'Hoydeis L'Halal, the Shimcha Gadol. So the Aravoida on Hanukkah is L'Hoydeis. And the word L'Hoydeis is a common root with the Midah of Hoyd. Of the seven Midahs of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, they're called Midahs or Sviras. So the Midah of Hoyd is a parallel to Hanukkah. Every Midah is a parallel to a different Yom Tov. So Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hoyd, Yisayin, Malchus. So the Nisayin of Hanukkah was Miyuchid. Because the Nisayin of Hanukkah was the Nisayin of Russia with Tevle. They had Rishayim that they Matzliach because of the Rishis. The Rishis gave them success. And that's an especially hard Nisayin. You know, for someone to suffer because of their beliefs, you believe what you believe, and you're not going to be convinced otherwise. So, Mamela, you're willing to suffer for it. And while you're suffering for it, you feel it's worthwhile. Because there is no alternative. You can't give up your belief. There's nothing else. During Hanukkah, there was something else. Because the belief system of the Yevanim was a belief system that worked. It was attractive. It made sense. It had a certain harmony to it, a certain flawless perfection. It's like when you go to a shir, and then someone asks like eight questions one after another, and this is okay. Now we're going to say to your side, and you say to your side, and once you hear to your side, so that answers up every single one of the questions. You go back in your mind over the questions.
It's your parsha.
Right, and it answers all the questions. So there's a harmony. That's like a riot. It's a vindication. This must be the truth. It's so beautiful. Everything, it makes everything work out. It's so harmonious. And the Yevanim, the belief system, the Greek philosophical belief system, was such a system. There was no extra pieces. Nothing was out of place. It explained everything. And they were Metzliach. And the whole world grabbed onto this. And they captured the whole world in the name of Greek philosophy. The Muhammads of Alexander the Great were Muhammads to spread Greek philosophy through the world. So when you go through Tsaros, when one goes through Tsaros, and there's an option, so it's a much bigger Nisayan. So we said the Nisayan of Hanukkah was the Nisayan of Russia of Tevle. Then there was an option. There were Jews that actually converted, that they became Hellenists. They accepted, they embraced the system of the Yevanim. And that was a big Nisayan. We said that the Midah of, that's called the Midah of Hoyd. Because the Midah of Hoyd is when the world's in a matzav that it appears as if a Kaddish Baruch Hu is mighty to them. The way the world looked at the time of the Yevanim was that a Kaddish Baruch Hu is agreeing. He's being maida. He's admitting that their way is right. And the events that went on in the world at the time backed this up. They backed up. They're right. And what's the right that they're right? Because it's so, everyone understands them. Everyone wants to be like them. And everything they touch turns to gold. So, and who's the one that makes that? Kaddish Baruch Hu runs the world. So Kaddish Baruch Hu is running the world according to the belief system of the Yevanim. If Kaddish Baruch Hu agrees to the Yevanim, so who am I not to agree to the Yevanim? That's the Midah of Hoyd. But it's deceiving. Because the Midah of Hoyd looks like a Kaddish Baruch Hu is being Goyim al Chassid to the ones that are acting against him. But in reality, he's giving them Chassid in this world, so that any quest that they ever did in this world will get paid up in this world. And all the success of the Yavanim is not to be looked at like a Kadosh Baruch Hu is mighty to them. All the Hatzlach of the Yavanim is a Kadosh Baruch Hu is making them disappear one chesed at a time. They might have done some nice time in their life. So Kadosh Baruch Hu makes them great, gives them kavod, gives them Hatzlacha, enables them to emerge from a war unscathed, and to come out of a mechama, and to capture territory, to have people be subservient to them. Each and every one of these chassadim is eating them up, because they're using up any schus that they ever had, one at a time. And we say that's the Midah of Hayd. The Midah of Hayd is on the surface, it looks like Hashem is made to them, but if you go deeper, it's exactly the opposite. They're being made to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They just don't know it yet. We said that's considered a leg. It's the left leg. Because the leg represents having a Nisayan, where you have to travel in order to get to that Nisayan. You transport it to another place. You go to another place, not where you were before. You're going to a new reality. You're going to a reality that everything is upside down. The good things happen to bad people. So you're going somewhere. Initially you start out in a place that good things happen to good things, people, and bad things happen to bad people. And then you transport it into a reality that, hey, good things are happening to bad people. So you just moved. You went from one place to another. So that's the legs. The legs are transportation. That's how we're mobile. At the time we said we're going to talk about the other leg, the right leg. The right leg is Purim. It's the Midah of Netzach. And in Shoshanah Yankov we say, Tshuva Sama Yishal Netzach. That the salvation, the Nes of Purim, is called Netzach. Tshuva Sam HaYisrael Netzach V'Sikvas V'Chol Davidar. So Chanukah is Hoyd, Kedei L'Hoydus L'Halal, and Purim is Netzach. Tshuva Sam HaYisrael Netzach. Tshuva Sam HaYisrael Netzach is the other midah. It's also a leg, and that's the midah of why bad things happen to good people. Tzadik v'ra'alai. When bad things happen to good people, it looks like a Kadosh Baruch Hu is acting out of Midas Hadin, retribution, punishment. A Kadosh Baruch Hu is taking away something. And that's the way it looks. But in reality, Hashem is being Gemma Chassadim. It just looks like a Kadosh Baruch Hu is taking something away. But the tzura amitis, the true tzura of dvarim, is that Kadosh Baruch Hu has been given a chasadim, and that's why it's the right leg. So let's talk about Purim. The Rebbe Rabbi Shapira Shlita talked about comparisons, a link between Purim and Mitzrayim. It's Yadua that Mitzrayim, they had all the Goliaths. Mitzrayim was the mother of all the nations. Mitzrayim was a world power. All the power, all the wealth of the world was concentrated in Mitzrayim. And everything after Mitzrayim, everything following Mitzrayim branched out from Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is the mother of all the nations. And if Mitzrayim is the mother of all the nations, so anything you're going to find by other nations, later in time, the root of it is going to be found in Mitzrayim. So it's not a surprise that you're going to find parallels. Because if it was like this in Paras HaMada, in the times of Mordechai and Esther, So you're gonna have to find some parallel to the Mitzrayim, because it had to come from somewhere. A child has to come from a mother. The Medrash says there's two Midrashim. The Medrash says that there were 70 days. There were 70 days when things were really quite dark. In the time of Mordechai and Esther, Haman sent out the letters that commanded the destruction of every single man, woman, child of the Jewish nation, and Yud Gimel Nisan. It was right before Erev Pesach. And that was dark. By the command of the king, every single Jew in his kingdom is going to be put to death. And every single Jew in the world was in his kingdom. It's not foreign stuff. You know, if there were Jews in Australia, then Ahasuerus ruled Australia. There were no provinces, there were no countries that had Jews that were outside of Ahasuerus's domain. If there was a Jew there, Ahasuerus ruled that country. There might have been countries he didn't rule over, but there were no Jews there. So it meant didn't just mean the extinction in Ahasuerus' empire, it meant the extinction of the entire Jewish nation. And Chav Gimel Sivan, a lot happened between Yud Gimel Nisan and Chav Gimel Sivan. A lot happened. Esther went to Ahasuerus, she had her party, she had another party, they killed Haman, they killed his sons, a lot happened. But the first letters that were sent out were still there. the execution of Haman made no impact whatsoever on the fate of the Jews. They might get some satisfaction out of it. Haman's dead. But the rule of the land was still that they're considered Elohim Damim, that Jewish people, their blood is not worth anything. The Jewish nation are walking zombies, walking dead people. And there was no measures of protection. The letters were still out there. Chaf Gimel Sivan, a second set of letters were sent out in the name of the king, that the Jews are commanded to stand up for their lives and to kill any that come up against them. So that was the first glimpse of the Hatzalah. Was Chaf Gimel Sivan. So when Yud Gimel Nisan to Chav Gimel Sivan, it was black, it was darkness, it was Evel Ayehudim, it was mourning. They were mourning. The Pasuk says Evel Ayehudim. They were mourning. Who were they mourning? They were mourning themselves. You have a live person that considers himself dead already, and he's mourning his own death. Picture that. There was a minig. There was a minig in communist Russia. The elderly people, that they still know what it was. They still know what it was to believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. They still know what it was to read a Pasuk Chumash. They still know what it was to say Tillim and say Mishnayis. But their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren were all ripped away by the Soviets. By the Avodah Zarah called communism. And they knew that after they die, that's it. No one's going to say Kaddish for them. The kids don't even know how to say Kaddish. So they'd have a Mishnayis. That they would learn Mishnayis, but not in memory of people that passed away. They'd have groups of Mishnayis, elderly people in Soviet Russia. That they'd be learning Mishnayis, so it should be a schus for them after they died. They learned their own Mishnayis. It's a fact. They learned their own Mishnayis, because no one else is going to do it for them. Evel Gadol Yehudim, there was an Avelis. They were mourning. Who were they mourning for? They were mourning their own deaths. Yud Gimel Nisan to Chaf Gimel Sivan, the 70 days. The Medrash says that what gave the Goyim, what gave the Parsim, the Koyach, It's got a power of the Kalash over 70 days. For 70 days, the life of every single Yid was in the hands of the Parsium and the Amalekim. Amalek with Paras. And they had total power over Klal Yisrael. You don't get total power over Klal Yisrael unless there's a reason. It's not a natural thing to have that kind of power over Klal Yisrael. That you have the power of life and death over all of Klal Yisrael for 70 days. So the Midrash says. That when Yaakov Avinu died in Mitzrayim, the Egyptian mourned him. He was embalmed, and they cried. Then they brought him back. They accompanied him back to Eretz Yisrael. They mourned him for 70 days. So they mourned Yaakov Avinu for 70 days. So then they got to rule Klal Yisrael for 70 days. And just like Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim, they were mourning Yaakov Avinu's death. So Klal Yisrael in Paras and Mada were also mourning for 70 days. They were mourning their own death. You do. The death of Klal Yisrael is the same thing as the death of Yaakov Avinu. It's the same thing. Klal Yisrael is Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is Klal Yisrael. So Maisa Ovesim and Labanim. The Demetrium they mourned Yaakov for 70 days, so therefore the Parsium could cause Klal Yisrael to mourn for 70 days. It's just like a pella, it's like not so easy to see the parallels between the two. Yeah, because they showed honor in the Harut Siakov Vina, therefore they get to kill us, it's just like a pella, right? Just like a pella. Adorable, wouldn't it be nice to have a Mice Avasim in the bottom, just like they showed such their Harut to Isaiah, so therefore in the times of Purim they'll show us such nice their Harut. I don't know, they're mourning the dead Jews, so in Paras and Mada, they'll do the Mice Avasim in the bottom that they won't allow any dead Jews in the first place, because the Jew dies, it's dead, so they'll have 70 days that they'll make sure that, to make sure there won't be any more dead Jews, because you have dead Jews, it's mourning, it wouldn't be a nicer Mice Avasim in the bottom. Not really, it doesn't work like that, it didn't work out like that. Mesara Pasha Zach. Explain the Torah Ramban. I mean, as much as I could give over, I'm trying to understand this myself. The Mitzrayim are the ones that brought Yaakov Avinu back to Eretz Yisrael. They brought him back. When Yosef and the brothers, they accompanied Yaakov's body back to Eretz Yisrael. They were accompanied by Mitzrayim. It wasn't their show. When Yaakov's children were there, they were around him, but it wasn't their show. It's called Evil Gadol Mitzrayim. Evil Gadol Mitzrayim. That there's an Evil, there's a mourning of great significance for Mitzrayim. The Torah calls it an Egyptian tragedy. Evil God the Limitran. That's Lashna Pazak. Why would Yaakov Avinu's death be called an Egyptian tragedy? We remember the Egyptians cried, but his children also cried. It's an Egyptian tragedy. It was very much their show. They took it over. It was prominent. It was prominent that Yaakov Avinu is an Egyptian tragedy. And it's the Egyptians that are bringing him back to Eretz Yisrael. And it's an Egyptian show. And the Jews took a back seat to their own father's burial. And they brought Yaakov Avinu back. The Ramban says that there's a Maisa of a similar bottom here. First of all, Kiyadua. You have to start with Akdama. Bringing Yaakov Avinu back on the surface is that they're taking a dead Yaakov Avinu. He once was Yaakov Avinu, once was alive, and he left Eretz Canaan alive. He came to Eretz Mitzrayim alive. He died in Eretz Mitzrayim. So he never went back. His body went back. He never went back. Yaakov Avinu died in Mitzrayim. No more Yaakov Avinu. What's left from Yaakov Avinu? His body. And the body, they're going to respect the body and bring him back. But Yaakov never went back to Eretz Yisrael. That's the way it looks like on the surface. But the Gemara says in Masechet Tainis, Yaakov Avinu Lameis. He didn't die. Rashi explains, it only looked like he died. He was in a state of slumber resembling death. He's alive. He was alive. He is alive. He never died. His heart rate slowed down. His breathing became shallow. They put the feather by his nose. The feather didn't move. They put the mirror by his mouth. It didn't fog up. He's dead. The Paschal is dead. He wasn't dead. He just looked like he was dead. He wasn't really dead. So they might have thought that they're bringing a dead body to Eretz Yisrael because Yaakov Avinu is no longer in this world. So bring him back. But they were mistaken. They were bringing him back to Eretz Yisrael. You ever heard the Maisa with Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai? He was in the city of Yerushalayim and there was a siege. And he had to get out. There were Romans on the outside. And there were Beryanim on the inside. There were Jewish, they're called Zealots. Jewish Zealots on the inside. That they wouldn't let any Jews out. So the Jews had to be afraid of their own brethren on the inside. Any Jew that would want to try and leave the city and surrender to the Romans would be killed. So Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai wanted to go out. He wanted to speak with the Roman general. That at the time his name was Aspasianus. He couldn't get out. His nephew was one of the Beryanim. So he got his nephew to work out a plan. He says, Tamidim spread a shmua that he was sick. And then his Tamidim spread the news that he was dead. And then they put him in a coffin and they hit and they're carrying him out. And the Beryanim let them take him out of cover of Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. So the way to get out of the city was to pretend that he's dead. So he pretended they put a piece of smelly meat in there. And they did a good job. They mamash. So it smelled like a corpse. They put him in there, and everyone thought he was a corpse. And they spread the news, and everyone was crying. Everyone was convinced. And it was a whole availus. And they got him out. And he went to, as soon as he got out, he went to the general, Aspasianus. And he saved many things there. So that's all good. And that's almost what happened to Yaakov Avinu. He didn't die. He didn't die in Mitzrayim. But he had to get out. Yaakov Avinu can't stay in Mitzrayim. He went there for a certain amount of time, and now he's got to go. They would never let him out. So he died, but he didn't really die. He was in a state of suspended animation. He was alive. But everyone thought he was dying. Then he cried. They had a velus. And then they brought him out. They brought him back to Eretz Yisrael. And now Yaakov is back in Eretz Yisrael like he was before. He's alive. And he's been there ever since. Ramban says, Maisa of a similar banim. The way Yaakov Avinu left Golus and went back to Eretz Yisrael alive is a similar banim. That the way we're nigel, the way we're redeemed, is it appears as if we're dead And then the Gentiles, the nations that were exiled among them, return us to life, whether they realize what they're doing or not. And that's what happened in Purim. So it's a parallel between Purim and Mitzrayim, that the 70 days between the letters corresponds to the same 70 days of the Avos Yaakov Avinu, that just got stronger. That there was a Maisa of a similar button, that the Gula is going to end, I mean the Gula is going to come about through Avelis. So it looks like Klai Yisrael is dead. But who was, in the time of Mitzrayim, who was Klai Yisrael? The children weren't developed yet. They weren't Klai Yisrael, it was a family. The children became Klai Yisrael after 210 years of Mitzrayim. But when they first went down there, they were not Klai Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu was Klai Yisrael. Klai Yisrael was Avram Avinu. When Avram died, Klai Yisrael was Yitzchak Avinu. When Yitzchak died, Klai Yisrael was Yaakov Avinu. When Yaakov Avinu died, there was no Klai Yisrael until they came out of Mitzrayim, they were Mekabel the Torah, and then Klai Yisrael was us. Yaakov Avinu dying is that Klai Yisrael is dying. All of Klai Yisrael was in one person. Klai Yisrael is dying. And when Klai Yisrael is dead, there's a lot of mourning. There's a lot of mourning, so then that causes Geula, causes redemption. Then Klai Yisrael could come back to Eretz Yisrael and come back to life. In the Nes of Purim, it was that for 70 days, Klai Yisrael was dead. And there was Eivel and there was mourning. And then Klai Yisrael came back to life. The Gemara says, the Gemara Maseches Megillah says that there were 48 Nevi'im that stood and rebuked Klai Yisrael. 48 Nevi'im delivered Musar to Klai Yisrael. Hechichu es Yisrael. And they didn't make an impact. 48 Nevi'im did not make an impact. What did Kadosh Baruch Hu do? Kadosh Baruch Hu was Mamed Aleh Melech Kasha Kahaman Hashem. It's not. It can't be, you know. If the Bnei Yisrael don't listen to the Nevi'im, they're going to self-destruct. The Bnei Yisrael are like on a horse or a cart that's going downhill. It's about to go off a cliff. The Bnei Yisrael are about to self-destruct. They're not listening to the Nevi'im. Kadosh Baruch said there can't be. Kadosh Baruch was Mamel Melech Kashuk Haman. Who made Haman great? Hashem made Haman great. The Gemara says, Gadol Hasaras Tabas, the removal of the ring from Achashverosh's hand, giving it to Haman, had more of a powerful effect than 48 Nevi'im. One ring, a ring of power, had more effect. Because Haman was the most dangerous person to Klai Yisrael in the entire earth. He was an enemy. He wants to kill every single one of them, and he just got the ring of power. He got the power. That's pacha, that's scary. So the evil, the mourning, brought Klai Yisrael back to life. If it wasn't for the mourning, if it wasn't for the evil, so we would have died. Anyone that was studying, or was within, was anyone that was present, a part of the events, the time of the Megillah would see things getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. The Beis HaMikdash, they took away, you know, they stopped building the Beis HaMikdash. That was not the various times. The second Beis HaMikdash, he rescinded the permission. Jews were no longer allowed to move from Persia to Eretz Yisrael. One thing after another. The Shverish made a Mishta with the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, because the Beis HaMikdash, you don't need these Kalim anymore, there ain't going to be no more Beis HaMikdash. Haman Haman becomes the second in command. Then there's letters that we're all going to die. It's gradual. And each one of these things was perceived as Midas Hadin, as a Gzar Din, as a harsh judgment, as taking away something from us, taking away our very life. Sort of like when Yaakov Avinu died in Mitzrayim. The lights go out. Yaakov Avinu died, the lights go out. No more Klal Yisrael. He's the only one that represents all of Klal Yisrael. And he's not with us anymore. Was it Midas Hadin? Was it divine retribution? Was it punishment? Not at all. It was Chesed. The only way for Yaakov to get out of there would be to die. Right? There's no way out. So Yaakov Avinu's Geula was to die. He died in order to live. And the Mitzrayim helped him. They got him out. Mitzrayim got him out. In the time of Purim, God lost the rest of us. The removal of the ring was more powerful than 48 Nevi'im. 48 Nevi'im is a good thing. There was like, when Hashem caused Achashverosh to take his ring off and give it to Haman, he was giving the Jewish people something better than 48 Nevi'im. What could be better than 48 Nevi'im? Could you imagine something better than 48 Nevi'im? If I give you 48 Nevi'im in one shot, wouldn't that be the biggest chesed you can... And this is even better than 48 Nevi'im, because this is going to work. I mean, what if you give someone a pill that cures death? Yeah, the guy's father, Rachmanos son, or someone very close passes away, take this pill, put it in his mouth, and come back. You ever saw the Kiyasa Mesim dance at a chasna? Oh, it's something to see. If it's done right, it's something to see. In the middle of the dancing, two people are fighting over a bottle. One guy grabs it, the other guy punches him in the head. He dies. And then he tries to bring him back to life. And the guy has one arm stuck in the air, so he pushes down the arm. And then the leg goes up. Pushes down the leg. The arm goes up. He tries to hold everything. Everything pops up and down. And he can't get the guy to get up. He's dead. He killed him. Until he pours a little bit of the schnapps down his mouth, and then they get up and they all dance. You ever saw it? Oh, that's really something. You gotta see this. That's really something. Asoras HaTabah, taking the ring off of Achashverosh, taking the ring off his finger, giving it to Haman, was Chiyas HaMeisim. The Jewish people were dead. Well, they were very near death. Near death. They did like a geisus. You know, a geisus is like a rave geisus in the misa. If someone's a geisus, you don't have to touch the person. If someone touches a geisus, the contact could send them to the other side. Kleisel was a geisus. That al piderach ha-teva, they're not going to recover. A geisus, they don't recover. Shchibera, rave of them do recover. Rave shchibera, chayim, rave geisus on the misa. Rave geisus, if they got to a certain point, there is nothing that can be done for them. No medical intervention is going to save them. And a minority of people recover. And Klai Yisrael, that means they're dead. The Gemara says they can't make kinyanim when they're a geisus. A kinyan made by a person who is a geisus, even if he has some level of consciousness, is not good because he has a dinner between two worlds. Can't make kinyanim. Mamshah, geisus, he did, he's dead. Klai Yisrael is a geisus. God lost Saras Tabaz, one ring to see, one ring. Haman was the best thing invented since soft butter. Can you imagine that? What a wonderful, wonderful niver. Better than 48 Nevi'im, Haman. The evil, the tsar, the mourning their own death. That was all chesed. That's what saved them. That's the gula. The 70 days, the parallel between the 70 days is getting a little bit closer, I'm saying. So. A little bit closer. Hashem gives the ones that imprison us power over us for a limited amount of time. It looks like din, but it's really chesed. It's midas hanetzach. Midas hanetzach, the prototype of midas hanetzach, is a kodesh. A tzaddik has some things he did wrong. He had some avarice. So kodesh Boker doesn't want him to receive his punishment in the Olam Emes because that's forever. So kodesh Boker wants the tzaddik to receive his punishment in this world. He'll get the punishment, it's limited, it's over. When the tzaddik gets Olam Haba, he'll only get tzar. He'll be misanig al Hashem, lo yom vod. So Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, is menake. Kadosh Baruch Hu cleanses the tzaddik, and he cleanses the tzaddik in a show of harshness. And to everyone, it appears as if Hashem is killing the tzaddik. The tzaddik is on his way out. Hashem is mamish killing him, taking the life out of him until there's nothing left. But it's really the opposite. Hashem is giving, instilling life in the tzaddik. That's midah sanetzah. That's midah of Purim. Midah Purim is tzaddik v'ralai. It's Am Mordechai. By Haman it says ki yidlo is Am Mordechai. He wanted to destroy Mordechai and all the Yidden because they told him Mordechai is Am. What does Am Mordechai mean? The Talmid Chachamim. The campaign of Haman against Klal Yisrael was connected to Mordechai and Talmid Chachamim. It's tzaddik v'ralai. The meat of Netzach, Chua Samayisal Netzach. It was the biggest chesed. But it's a mice of a similar bottom of Baisa. We're living in its Kufa. It means Mitzrayim was a mice of a similar bottom for Purim, and Purim is a mice of a similar bottom for what? The Gemara calls Esther, Miguel's Esther, Seif Kala Nisim. It's the last nace in the time when the Nevi'im. And we have miracles now also, but the type of Nisim that happened in the time when there were Nevi'im around are Nisim at a different level. Esther, Seif Kala Nisim. It's the end. Myself is similar bottom. If Esther is a nace, it happened in the end of a period. It happened in the, you know, no more Nevuah, no more Nisim, everything goodbye. So it's a myself is similar bottom for the end. This is what happened in the end by Paras and Madai. So it's a myself is similar bottom what's happened in the end when. It's for now. We're in a period called Ikvus and the Mashiach. It's year 5775. The Gula is going to come before the year 6000. It's the end. The Nisim that happened in Mitzrayim, the Yaakovino came back to Eretz Yisrael, even though it looked like he was dead. The Nisim that happened in Purim, the Klal Yisrael was restored to life by killing them. That's mamash what it was. They restored to life by killing them. So that's all a sim. Both of them are simanim. That's the play, you know? What's the real life? The real life is now. The Persians had power over every single Yid. They had the power of life and death over every single Yid. So did the Mitzrayim. And that's a very scary thing. And that's something which means life to us. When you're scared, you do tshuva, it's life. We have to read world events. What's going on right now? Let's start with the first question. What's the nation that could threaten the lives of almost every person in the world? They do it on a daily basis through their proxies. There's a nation that has proxies. They have tentacles. that spread around the entire world, and they terrorize the entire world. There's no place in the world that you're safe. They have proxies in India, in Pakistan, in Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, Gaza. And that's Iran. They're the ones that are funding all the terrorist groups. It's Iran. They provide resources, money, planning, training. They stretch as far as Argentina. They terrorize people in Argentina. What's the shacks in Persia and Argentina? Everywhere. America, what's wrong? This stuff must have been what they're doing in America. Iran is part of us. But the Maisa, they might be wicked, they might be, but they're limited, right? They're limited. But they're developing now. They're refining uranium, weapons-grade uranium. They have the technology. Do you know that they're testing long-range intercontinental ballistic missiles? What kind of payload do you put on an intercontinental ballistic missile? Do you put TNT in an intercontinental ballistic missile? Does it pay to develop an ICBM to go all the way from Iran to, well, you know, you're trying to increase the range? That's going someplace very far with an intercontinental, a different continent, right? That's why it's called an intercontinental ballistic missile. So you think that there's a payload of conventional explosives that they're going to send it all the way to Rayolenu, to some other country, a different continent, in order to blow up 5 buildings? What do you think is going to go in that payload? We know what's going into that payload. No one's stopping them. Do you know what's stopping them from developing? They're trying to slow up the refinement. You know, all the agreements now are focused on getting them to slow up the refining processes. They should only refine up to a certain percentage. You know, but you have the process. Just slow down, you know? Just get it to almost weapons grade, you know? Get it to there. But leave the technology, leave that in place. The scientists are still there. The centrifuges are still there. The refineries are still there. Just slow them down. We'll come and check it once in a while to see, you know, how fine and how pure your uranium is. How long does it take for them to zoop it up, and break the agreement? They'll have nuclear weapons in a moment. And they terrorize the entire world. So you have someone that they're terrorizing the entire world. And they're all doing it in the name of what? They want to rid the world of infidels. And the infidels are us. If they're trying to eliminate the great Satan, it's because they look at them. They're also Jews. Because the Jews are the ones that power behind America. Everything is Klal Yisrael. And they say they're going to incinerate Tel Aviv, and they mean it. They just can't do it yet because they don't have it yet. But they're going to have it. So it's very clear, my Rebbe said it's very clear that on who's the leader of the free world? Who's the leader of the free world? Who's the melech of the world now? There's only one superpower left, right? Since the collapse of the Soviet Union. There's one superpower, and that's the United States of America. They are the last superpower, right? And who's the king of that superpower? I'm Persian. A Muslim. Paras. A Persian. You don't see it. You have a Persian leader of the free world, a Paras, a Parsi, a Muslim president. And he's giving the power to the ones that want to kill us all out to wipe us all out. He's in the process of giving to them the power of wiping us all out. You scared? Ma'aseh avos simul labanim. It looks like we're dying. It looks like we're dead. The power, the ring, is being passed. As we speak, the ring is being passed. But it's not dead, it's chesed. It's only dead if we don't get the message. It's chesed, it's midas ha-netzach. Midas ha-netzach is a tzaddik v'ralai. Bad things are happening to tzaddikim. Tzaddikim, it looks like tzaddikim are dead. It looks like we're dead. We're dead ducks. The one thing that will save us is if we see what's really going on. If you see what's really going on, Kadosh Baruch is saving us by taking everything away from us. He's saving us by threatening our lives. He's saving us by highlighting how dead we really are. He's saving us by showing that we're stuck in a trap and, you know, there's no way out. We can't defend ourselves. There's no way out. Every single door of escape is shut. The Shadows are getting sued for crimes against humanity now in the international court. I'm just ridiculous. These are all simanim. This is a Kadosh Baruch Hu b'kvod v'atzmai. They could kill us, we can't defend ourselves. We defend ourselves, we're called murderers. You have terrorists that terrorize the entire world. And they kill people that aren't Jews also. And the world works together with the ones that are killing, you know, the United States is working together with the nation, Iran. They're working with Iran. It's not in their best interest. Iran, they're working together, working in collusion with the greatest enemy to help the greatest enemy kill Klal Yisrael. That shows you how much America is on our side. No matter what they say, you know. They are working together with the sponsor of worldwide terrorism in order to enable them to keep their nuclear program. So what's the solution? Netanyahu should go to America and give a speech? You think that's going to work? What's the solution? The first solution is realize what's going on. It's all for our benefit. We're only in danger if we believe that these things are just happening, you know. That's the danger. That's where the danger lies, in believing these things are just happening. Because Baruch wants us to come alive. He wants to wake us up. Enough already. Enough messages. How many messages he sent us over the years? What the message 70 years ago wasn't enough. Enough already. Wake up. This is not being caused by people. It's not human beings. This is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu is taking the ring. He's giving it to our biggest enemy. Our biggest enemy that when he gets the ring, he swears he's going to kill us. In the times of Purim, it worked. It did. Times of Purim, they had a Mordechai and Esther. Esther, Moshe Peres. In the times of Purim, they had a Mordechai and Esther that told them all this, you know? Mordechai and Esther told Klal Yisrael all this, that this is really happening because Hashem wants you to do tshuva and he wants you to wake up. And Mordechai was a Navi and Esther was a Navi and they were mamish leaders of Klal Yisrael and people listened to them. I said, but we don't have a Mordechai and Esther. How are we supposed to figure this all out? Where's the Mordechai and Esther? So he said, it's not a time of open miracles. It's not a time of Nevi'im. We have a Mordechai and Esther, but the Mordechai and Esther have to be hidden. There's no open miracles. It's hidden miracles. There's no open Mordechai and Esther. That means it's hidden. So I asked him, where are they hidden? And he said that they're hidden inside of us. Where are the Mordechai and Esther? We're going through a Purim. This Purim is a very important Purim. what we do on Purim could make a difference. And whether we're going to have the miracles of Purim, that every year we go through a Purim, we could have the miracles that they had. That on the Purim, if we do Purim, if we're in Purim, we immerse ourselves in Purim the way Purim should be. So on that Purim, we could have that soul like they had then. There will be a Purim. It'll be Shua Sama Yisrael Netzach. Mitzik Vasam. Remember by the Gulf War when they were shooting missiles in 1991. Erev Purim was when they fell. It was the happiest Purim of our lives. We were able to come outside and not be afraid of missiles coming down. Not much Erev Purim. Everyone felt it. Shua Sama Yisrael Netzach. We should be to all the things, to Shoshana Shankar, to all of us, Amecha, to Rishim Yachat, to Rishim Yachat.
Amen.